welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and wait, hold on a second.
Morty?
Okay, so Morty was just in my office staring at me, being like, girly, I want to go out. It's a whole thing. He likes to go in the backyard, then he wants to come right back in, then we go back out, then we come back in. It's a Morty thing. Anyway, he walked in my office, and I'm like, I'll record this real quick, and then I'll go out with Morty. Morty heard me say hello and then walked out. Morty knows what the podcast is. That's crazy. Anyway, hi, hello. I am currently on vacation. I'm trying to like summer break for real. Now that I have a kid and I'm on a school schedule, my life just used to be fluid before. Now that I'm like on a school schedule, I'm trying to get a lot done over the summer. And we are on a 2 week, possibly more than 2 week. I'm bad at math. 2 week trip to go visit family in Chicago and New York. And as you know, originally, the plan was that I was going to take 3 weeks off the podcast. I was like, we're going to be on summer break. And then I realized if my favorite podcasts did that, I would lose my GD mind. I would absolutely freak out. So I don't want to do that to you because I also don't want it to happen to me. So we are here. Also, that makes it sound like this is an obligation. It is not at all. Long story short, I didn't think I was going to have time to pre-record episodes before I left. But I ended up not getting called in for jury duty. And I don't think I talked about this on the podcast during Gab Sesh, but I had a week where I reserved the whole week for jury duty, just in case. Every day, don't have to report, don't have to report, don't have to report, don't have to report. Friday, last day, made a doctor's appointment because I'm like, I'm not going to have to report. Had to report. So I, because you can't call them and you only check your jury duty assignment after hours. It like starts at 6 p.m. when everyone's gone. So I had to physically go down there and be like, what do I do? And they're like, we're just going to sign you up again and you're going to start back at one. So I, this week, unexpectedly had to assume that I would not be able to work the entire week because you never know. I mean, I've watched a lot of Lincoln Lawyer. You can be on a case for a while. So every single day I checked and I checked and I checked. And because Friday, the last day was July 4th observed, I got the whole week and I was fine. So I'm recording this on Thursday, a day I did not think I would have free. And here we are, able to do the podcast. I was able to go to coffee with a friend of the pod, Julia Prescott. We went for coffee this morning. Coffee, by the way, excellent. I posted last week that I keep a note in my phone about where I like coffee from and where I don't. Jones on 3rd, iced non-fat latte, going on the good list. I tried to be a cold brew person. It didn't work out well. I will never be going back to go get them Tiger just because I try every time and it's never what I want it to be. Anyway, we are here. I'm so excited to be able to bring you these little guides. We'll get into more of what these are in the actual episode portion. But everything is good with me. I am wrapping up the... Oh, did you hear that? I don't know if you hear that. That's me kicking one of the final cardboard boxes that I have to mail out Dollywood hats. I have about 4 more to box up, and then I'm bringing them to the post office. And some of you, when you're listening to this podcast, might have already gotten them. Isn't that fun? I don't know if I'm going to open up a store again. It's not. That is a type A job, and I have a type B brain. But I'm really glad that we all have these hats. I'm really glad they're out in the world. They're so silly. I love making things. Next time, I'm just going to have someone else box them up because it's not. Me trying to like check a document and make sure that I put the right color hat in the box. Not my skill set. Not my skill set. Anyway, thrilled to be here. Thrilled to be with you over these summer weeks when I'm away. I will be reporting probably from Chicago in the next one. We will see, but I hope everyone's having a great summer. Hope everyone had a delicious hot dog or a vegan alternative during July 4th. And I'll see you on the other side. Okay, love you, bye. So basically going to Disney World right now is always on sale.
There is a spread of offers that go from today all the way through the end of the year.
I remember when you couldn't save money on a trip and now you can save so much money and celebrate holidays and do all the things.
That's the thing. And there's something for everybody right now at Walt Disney World. So thinking about the holiday season, it's July, therefore it's Christmas in July. Therefore you can book a package for Christmas in July. Disney World just came out with its save up to 20% on select rooms with the Disney Resort collections during the holiday season. So this is stays most Sunday to Thursday nights from October 4th to November 19th. and most nights, including weekends, from November 22nd to December 24th. So that sweet spot where all of the decorations are up and all the times that I like to go to Disney is right in that little space of weeks. You can save up to 20% on your room only. They also do have a Florida residence rate. If you're a Florida resident, you can save up 25%. Most nights, October 19th to December 24th. That's just the first thing out of the gate. The second thing is the one that everybody should really be paying attention to, especially if you're a Disney Plus Perks member. Because if you are, you can save up to 25% on your rooms and But wait, there's more. Get free park hopper benefits added to your ticket too when you purchase 4 nights, 4 day room and ticket package at a select Disney Resort Collection hotel. That's amazing to me. I have not seen them add free park hopper benefits in a package for an eon. So that's a big deal. That's valid for stays most nights from September 25th through December 24th as well, with some blackouts in there too. If you're thinking about doing your holiday season planning and you want to go to Disney World, now's the time to look at it for
Yeah,
sure.
dude, ask for your gift in advance. This
Yeah,
is the
exactly.
time.
What do you want? I want free park hopper benefits. Bring it on. Last but not least, if you can go to this late summer, early fall dates, which are about July 30th to October 3rd, you can save even more than they're showing during the holidays. So you have that save up to 35% for 5 or more nights, save 25% as well. And the Florida residents can save up to 35%. So pretty much right now, Walt Disney World's on sale.
Wow. Thank you so much for keeping us up to date. And I know we talked about this before, but I just want to emphasize to everyone listening, there are too many of these to keep track of, and they're changing all the time, which is why I always implore you to reach out to MEI Mouseman Travel because I can't keep track of these. But if you reach out, they will tell you everything that is available at that moment. And sometimes the rooms will go, and you got to grab them because I want you to save money if you're going to Disney World.
Absolutely. And sometimes the room only is a better deal. Sometimes the room only ticket packages are a better deal. So there's a lot of Disney math going on here, and we're happy to help you with that.
Thanks, Becky. Welcome back to our Disneyland mini guide. This is essentially everything I would tell you if we were out for a coffee and you were like, "Oh, I'm going to Disneyland. What do I need to know?" Blah, that's this whole episode. And the goal of this is really for anyone who hasn't been there in a while, anyone that you are going to send advice to. I want to save y'all time. I don't want you to have to worry about typing everything out. But really, it's just to talk about my local park and my favorite things to do there. A lot of times, because we have this podcast every week, we don't always hit the basics. And when we do, we go so deep that it's a little overwhelming. I'll admit, not all our podcasts need to be an hour and a half long, but I can't stop talking. So I'm kind of viewing these mini episodes as an opportunity to really hone in on the basic stuff that I do every time I'm at these places in a way that is more guide focused and a little less broad and just very, very concise. Very concise, which is something that I struggle with. This week, we are talking about Disneyland Resort, the two theme parks that I visit frequently as somebody who is now a Californian. And straight up at the top, before we get into this resort, usually I'd be like, "Oh, there's two parks, and there's a downtown Disney district, and there's three hotels, but there's also hotels nearby." Not today, buddy. We're just going into the key stuff you gotta know. And the main thing you gotta know about Disneyland right now is that Disneyland low-key needs you to go. Okay? They kind of need you to go to Disneyland because the discounts that we're seeing are absolutely bananas. I am recording this a day or two after they announced $59 evening tickets. These are for Sundays through Wednesdays for only 4 weeks, starting in July 12th. And what that tells me as an expert is that if we're out here pinpointing when crowds are low, Disney is literally selecting the exact days that they know people aren't coming and they're trying to shove people in there, which means that Disneyland is not busy this summer and we need to take advantage because that is not always the case. I even went on the regular ticketing calendar and they now have lower priced days in a green font to highlight that they are lower to potential guests. They also have, which I did not see anywhere else, a Disneyland dining card where you save $10 by prepaying for $100 in advance. That's not enough to get me to lock into a $100 gift certificate for nothing, but Jesus, yikes, guys, is Mickey okay? This is crazy. And this is coming off the heels of multiple weeks of my friends and colleagues posting that, like, there's not a lot of people in Disneyland. There's not a lot of people in Disneyland. And while I say that, it's not like there's, you know, like what is it, like dust, like an old Western movie. There's not like hay barrels or whatever. There's not like dust floating around. It's not like there's nobody there. There are people there, but we are used to these parks being jammed. And especially because a lot of annual pass holders are blocked out during the summer. This is the time to go. I saw Haunted Mansion have a 10-minute wait with my own eyeballs. I opened my phone the other day. Peter Pan's flight, less than 30 minutes. Actually, you know what? We're going to do this in real time. I'm going to turn my phone off of airplane mode. Granted, it is, when I'm recording this, July 2nd. So we are approaching a holiday. Perhaps Disney also might not have the lowest of low times posted in case things are different. But it is 11 o'clock on a Thursday in summertime. Peter Pan, 30 minutes. Still not that bad. What else? Okay, see, now wait times are a little lower. I don't want to be a show off. They're a little higher. I don't want to be a show off, but... Okay, what is this? 20-minute wait? Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run. They just updated that ride with Grogu, and it's that low. Yep, here we go. Haunted Mansion, 13-minute wait, which is basically almost nothing. What else do we have? It's loading so slow. I don't know why. It's a Small World, 5-minute wait. Okay? Okay, so like, get your butt to Disneyland. Get your butt to Disneyland. And while I'm at it, may I say, reach out to Mouseman Travel, my guys at Mouseman Travel, mousemantravel.com/amusing, because they will set you up for success. There's hotel discounts. There's all this stuff that, like, there's so much stuff I can't keep track of it, and they will make sure that you know about all of it and plan your trip for free. Hit them up. They will help you out. If you are going for one day, if you're going for one day to Disneyland Resort, Disneyland Park has more going on than Disney California Adventure. It's, you know, it's secondary park, if I say. If you want to do thrill rides specifically, you should go to Disney California Adventure, or at least park hop, so you can access that park. Park hopping is so easy at Disneyland Resort that I often recommend it. But if you don't come here a lot and it's all new to you, there is plenty to do at just Disneyland, and you won't even be able to do it all in a day. You no longer need to worry about park hopping rules. I mean, you gotta pay for park hopping, but there used to be like at 11 o'clock, you could come over and park hop. That's gone, which is pretty sick. But you do still need to tell them when you are visiting. What that means is that as a ticket holder, you select which park you're visiting on which date. It's not a full clocked reservation like it used to be, but it's essentially the same thing. I am often asked, is it going to be busy? Is it not going to be busy? When is the best time to go if I'm flexible in schedule and I don't want to see people there? Honestly, I don't know anymore. I don't know anymore. And anybody who says they know, they don't know. They truly don't know, because the crowd calendars are a mess and they are not as reliable as they used to be. Empirical data has shifted so much from the pre-COVID years that I don't really trust anything that much. And I have come on here before and said that it's worth it to cobble together different sources. And I still think that is the best method to try to figure out if the park is going to be busy or not. However, in the recent months, I have booked on multiple days the crowd calendars after checking them all. They were like, babes, nobody's going to be here. Big fart. There were a ton of people there. I think that it is worth it to check everything and also check how much tickets cost per day. If there is a lower ticket price, that means that they want more people to be there. But a lot of this is informed by Magic Key holders, by annual pass holders at Disneyland, and when their blockout dates are. Something you don't want to forget, too, is that SoCal resident tickets, those random promotions they do where people can buy a low price ticket for 3 days, those can explode crowds over a series of months when things would have been slower. The park, as I said, has not been busy this summer, partially summertime, partially from Magic Key blockouts, partially from the World Cup. We don't know. But again, use all of the options available to paint a picture to see when things are busy or less busy. Typically, you can find like a random weekend when things are less busy, but it really depends on those blockout dates for Magic Key holders, ticket promotions, and things like that. So if you're trying to pinpoint a low crowd day, honestly, I have no freaking idea. I have no idea anymore. And I feel like anybody who tells you they know is lying. I just feel that way. I feel like I only know there's no crowds if someone's there and they're like, weird, no crowds today. Blackout dates for passes are usually a huge indication. And if you're going to the parks right before, you can check the pass calendars online and see when people are blocked out. If you're visiting the parks right before one of those windows, which is not at all seasonally dependent, well, kind of for summer, but anyway, and kind of for holidays, so I kind of take that back. But if you are visiting right before the end of a SoCal discount ticket, one of those three-day tickets. If you're visiting right before, sometimes that aligns with the end of a festival. If you're visiting right before a pass holder is about to be blocked out, whew, the park is going to be busy, and we don't talk about that enough. If you are driving because you're in California, you will be. The parking lot is a whole situation. Budget 45 minutes minimum from the time you arrive to the garage. I usually say an hour, but I don't want to scare anybody, okay? Recently, I pulled in on one of these not busy days, and I got to Disneyland in 30 minutes, and that was a world record for me. 30 minutes from pulling up to the garage to being inside the park is the shortest time it has ever taken me. So it's going to take you kind of an hour all the time. If you arrive before 11 a.m., you can park at this secondary lot called Pixar Pals. The easiest way to figure out how to do that is to just go on TikTok. I'll put a link in the show notes. It's a little complicated because you have to drive past multiple signs telling you to park, and your brain will be like, I need to park! And so you have to like overcome that voice to be able to go. But it typically can be easier to get in the garage there because the garage lines get backed up in a way that will blow your mind. The lines are so long, I don't know why. There is also a surface parking lot on the opposite side of the resort, just kind of like out in the streets of Anaheim, just floating out there. It's called Toy Story Parking, but they have a bus that will take you to the front. I prefer to walk. It is a long walk, but you get to walk past a Walgreens and I can get myself a seltzer. And personally, I like that. But if you're not visiting that often, ignore what I just said and go to Pixar Pals or to Mickey and Friends. Now let's talk about what we're going to do at the park, because I'm not going to list off all the rides you can go on. Again, this is just what we're telling a friend. They can do that on their own. But we got to talk about skipping lines, because that is something where expertise comes into play. Now, as everyone knows, you got to pay for FastPass. It's called Lightning Lane Multipass, but there are also Lightning Lane Single Pass and Lightning Lane Premier Pass if you feel like blowing $400 or so dollars per person. Lightning Lane Multipass, just like FastPass, will essentially help you do more during the day for a fee. It works! It helps get you on more stuff, it helps you pack more into the day, and in a way, helps you get more out of the money that you spent on your ticket. You can buy it in advance and be locked into a rate of around $32, I think it is. I think it's between $30, $32, or $32, $34. So $32 around there is what it costs. Or you can buy it day of. It will help you during your day do more, period. It'll help you do a lot more. But it's not absolutely necessary. Because if you are arriving in the afternoon or closer to evening, it's gonna kind of be a waste of money. If you arrive early, you get the most use out of Lightning Lane Multipass because you can't book anything until your entire party is inside the park. So if you're showing up 8 a.m. ready to go, banging down those doors and walking through the gates, you are gonna get the most use out of something that you would pay the same amount for even if someone bought it at 4 p.m. and can maybe only get a Lightning Lane or two to rides they don't even really wanna go on anyway. If you are traveling with little kids, most of the rides that you're going to go on do not take Lightning Lane, so definitely take that into consideration. Stuff like Dumbo, Peter Pan, Snow White, the carousel, all of that is just waiting in lines, and they're never usually that long. Dumbo will get up there. You may have to wait up to about 40-ish minutes, 45, which is why I never go on it, because I don't like waiting in line just to roast in the sun. But otherwise, there's plenty you can do without having to pay extra for this product. Also, depending on your party mix and kind of what the range of ages is that you're traveling with, consider not getting it for the whole family. Like, you can fully just get Lightning Lane for, I don't know, an adult and a teen who want to just go on Space Mountain and Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, and that's totally fine. If you are traveling with young children or babies, I will link in the show notes those episodes. I really put my whole butt into those. I really put a lot of work into those to make sure anybody traveling with a child has all the information they need. That is a deep dive, and I implore you to go listen to those if that is your journey with going to the parks. So that's Lightning Lane Multipass. There's also Lightning Lane Single Pass, which used to be individual Lightning Lane because it's been rebranded so many times and my head is spinning. Remember Genie Plus? We've lived a lot of lives the past few years, people. We're all tired. Now, individual Lightning Lanes are expensive. You're paying a lot of money for one single ding-dong ride, but those are the most in-demand rides at the park, and it'll guarantee that you get on them without having to wait a very, very long time. Those rides are Radiator Springs Racers at Disney California Adventure, the Cars ride, if you're fancy, and then also Rise of the Resistance in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge at Disneyland Resort. Both great rides. Both will have long lines, but there are ways to skip lines, including for one of those, without having to pay any money. And I will tell you all about that after this quick break. I would be naked without Quince, okay? I think we've established that at this point. Quince is basically the department store of your dreams, where everything is affordable and reliable and high quality. It is truly the best of both worlds, and I would know, because y'all are aware I'm obsessed with my bike shorts, which I got at Quince, which I wear daily. Daily! I had to buy a new pair for every day of the week, because honestly, if I run out and I didn't do laundry, I'm legitimately sad. Having to put on my old long leggings, which are not Quince, when I can't have my Quince bike shorts, it bums me out! But I recently started branching out for new Quince items, which I'm going to tell you about in a second, because Quince is not just apparel. They bring that same everyday elevation to everything they offer, from hotel quality bedding. Oh my gosh, I didn't know they had bedding. Okay, that's huge. I'm finding new reasons to shop in real time. And bath goods and kitchen staples, essentials, and thoughtfully designed furniture. Quince specializes in effortless, high-quality essentials, like ultra-soft organic cotton, premium Mongolian cashmere sweaters, and everything is beautifully tailored and built to last and can really take you, they're telling me to say, from morning meetings to dinner. I'm telling you, these bike shorts that I love will take you from the beach to the pool to a theme park to truly out at night, because I have worn them to every kind of occasion. If I can't wear them, frankly, I don't want to go. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. The way you want things to cost is what they cost at Quince. They work directly with ethical factories to cut out the middlemen, so you're paying for quality, not brand markup. I have been using Quince lately for all of my travel needs, and I can't recommend it enough. I recently got these packing cubes from Quince, but they are compression packing cubes, something I have wanted forever and ever, ever, and have never gotten. And I'm going to use them on a trip in a few weeks, and there are no words for how delighted I am. I got them in this beautiful, like, steel blue. They're very appealing. I know I'm going to put them in my suitcase and just smile every time I see them. And the fact that I can shove a bunch of stuff in there and then just close them real tight is so good, both for getting to Disney World and coming back. Because I usually have a lot of laundry and I gotta shove those suckers in. So if you want to upgrade your everyday just like I am, from shorts to luggage to everything beyond, download the Quince app for app exclusive offers or go to quince.com/amusing. Get free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada and the UK too! Wow! That's quince.com/amusing. As someone who desperately craves the praise I get at the dentist when I'm complimented on my flossing, thank you very much, we have to talk about something that's new and exciting to me, and hopefully the same for you. Underbrush Remineralizing Gum from Nathan & Sons is essentially a different kind of chewing gum that helps your mouth feel clean, clean, clean in a way I personally have not experienced before. It's designed to be a simple oral care habit between brushing, especially, you know, at lunchtime, in the afternoon, but the texture is different. It's kind of like gum that's good for you. Underbrush is made with natural saps instead of a typical synthetic gum base, which is just a long way to say it has a very substantial, satisfying chew. It is super chewy. And if you're someone who, like me, also needs to like constantly have a little something during their day when they're working, it is the ideal thing. It supports enamel, it helps freshen your breath. It's a simple oral care habit that's actually enjoyable to do. But again, one more thing I gotta add is that it's weird we're only brushing in the morning and night. I consume so much food during the day. Every 90 minutes, I'm having a snack. And I'm very sensitive about the amount of plaque that's been in my mouth lately. I just feel like I need to be brushing more. I don't like my mouth feeling unclean. And Nathan & Sons offers a great natural alternative that boosts my oral care. Nathan & Sons also makes underbrush themselves from scratch in their California facility. Like, the team is small, they've only been around for a few years, they're packing orders themselves, and it's just nice to be chomping on a small business gum, not some big corporate gum. So if you want a simple daily upgrade for your teeth, check out Underbrush from Nathan & Sons. If you like to chomp, chomp, and chew, and care about your oral health, you're gonna love it. Welcome back. Since this is a Disneyland guide where I'm basically yapping at you about all the advice I would give to a friend, I gotta give it to you straight. There are ways to skip the line without having to pay money. There's a single rider line at 11 rides across Disneyland Resort right now. Holy cow, that is so many freaking rides. 11? 11? Let me read them to you. So at Disneyland Park, we have, I feel like I'm giving a class presentation. We have single rider lines available at Indiana Jones Adventure, Tiana's Bayou Adventure, Space Mountain, Matterhorn Bobsleds, and Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run. We also have single rider lines on coasters like Goofy Sky School and Incredicoaster, Radiator Springs Racers, Grizzly River Run, Web Slingers, the Spider-Man ride, and Soarin' Over California. That is an unbelievable array of attractions that you can wait in a possibly shorter line if you are a party of one. If you are traveling with friends or like other adults, by the way, I always recommend doing this. Now, it's not guaranteed that the single rider lines will be open. It's not guaranteed that you're going to wait much less, but usually if you roll your dice and play your cards right, like you can get away with a lot using the single rider line. Like you can do a ton and have a great Disneyland day without having to spend extra money. No joke, I'm so floored by there being 11 single rider line attractions that I'm out of breath. My body is like thinks it ran a marathon because I was so overwhelmed by that news. 11! 11. Now, the reason this is important is because of something like Radiator Springs Racers, the marquee main attraction over at Cars Land at Disney California Adventure. That is the only ride that offers single rider, which means that you wait, you board by yourself, but you can wait with friends, you can gab in line, it's like totally cool, but you'll end up riding with strangers. That they offer that, and they offer Lightning Lane single pass, which means that you can either pay a bunch of money to skip the line on this, or you can wait in the regular line, or you can wait in single rider. You have a multitude of options. But keep in mind, Lightning Lane single pass costs money. It is today on a Thursday, $23 per person just to skip the line or to wait in a shorter line on Radiator Springs Racers. Drew Taylor, a fellow reporter and close friend who was recently on the podcast, remarked that when him and his wife bought Lightning Lane single pass to go on Rise of the Resistance, the Star Wars ride, him and his wife turned to each other and were like, that's how much we spent on dinner. And it was just to go on one single ride. So it's good to keep single rider lines in your back pocket, which is what I advise, whether or not you are using Lightning Lane multipass or Lightning Lane single pass, because you can get a lot more done in your day if you kind of use it like one of your tools at your disposal. There's also Buddy Pass. This is kind of a dwindling art form, but it is currently available on two attractions, Winnie the Pooh at Disneyland and Monsters, Inc. at DCA. It is not always open. I use it often on Monsters, Inc., and I'd say every like 2 out of 5 times, the line isn't currently open and they tell me to come back. And that's fine. But it is worth inquiring about to the cast member standing at the front of the ride. Just be like, hey, is Buddy Pass available? And when it is, it's pretty great. You will still wait in a short line for Monsters, Inc., but for Winnie the Pooh, they give you a little piece of paper and then you walk to the exit of the ride. When I do it on Winnie the Pooh, I'm getting on Winnie the Pooh almost immediately. Now, your party has to be between 1 and loosely 3 people. Your party has to be able to fit in one row. You will be in the back of the attraction. And as long as you can fit in that row, you're good. But there is a new version of this, which I think is actually superior. It's called Double Rider. It quietly popped up on Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run. Steph, if you're listening, thank you for the tip on this one. And it just appeared one day. They never said anything. They don't call it Buddy Pass. But you can go to Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run, and if the line is long, you and a friend can go in the single rider line. It's the same entrance as this double rider thing they just made up. And you will go on the ride together. Now, you may be, I don't know, in a seat you don't love on Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run, but guess what? The poorly designed art form of that ride means that you're probably going to sit where you don't want to sit anyway. So waste less time. And if you get engineered, then you at least get to decide where you're going. And that is a lot more fun than it used to be. Again, I just want to stress, if you want to get the most out of your Disneyland day, mix and match these different things. Just keep them in mind. Just knowing about them is helpful because these products together can help you do a lot more, especially on a single day visit. But we're not just here for rides, okay? We're not just going to Disneyland for rides. We're treating it like a mall food court because a major part of visiting Disneyland is, of course, the snacks. There are really iconic grab-and-go bites here, like Mickey pretzels and turkey legs and hand-dipped corn dogs, which are actually incredible. They have delicious popcorn. It is my favorite food. They have churros and seasonal versions of them and a lot of things at carts throughout the parks. But there are some iconic things that are only available at specific locations I want to make sure you know about. People love the pickles, okay? People are obsessed with the pickles. I don't get it. It's not my snack of choice, but people love the friggin' pickles down. They are at fruit carts, which is what they're casually referred to. If you see a cart that has like a bunch of ice and some baby bells on it, bingo, you found it. That's where you can find the pickles. And if you're interested by that, I definitely recommend it because people be obsessed. Stuffed pretzels. Not a regular Mickey pretzel, but a pretzel with stuffing on the inside. You can get cream cheese. You can get, what's the other one? Is it spicy cheese? Hold up. Listeners of the podcast know I never trust my brain, and sometimes I should, because the options are cream cheese and jalapeno cheese. Those are stuffed pretzels. It's a little bit different than a Mickey pretzel. People are obsessed with them. You can get them at certain carts, but reliably you can get them at Refreshment Corner. If you're walking towards the castle, that'll be the last stop on your left on Main Street before you hit Jolly Holiday Restaurant. Climbing up the old viral chart towards becoming true Disneyland classics are things like Chimichangas, which you can find over by Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. The cheesy pretzel bread and Maurice's Treats, and now at Edelweiss Snacks. I think there may be a third location. That might be the only other one. But Maurice's Treats is the stand to the left of the castle. So if you're facing the castle and you see a little walkway towards like basically it doesn't, Fantasyland is forward, but left is also like kind of Fantasyland. You have Fantasyland Theater, you have Princess Meet and Greet. You won't be able to see that from where you are. So if you're facing the castle, there's a small bridge to the left. Take the little bridge. Boom diggity, you're right there at the stand that has this pretzel bread. Everyone loves it. They have a breakfast version. They shove some scrambled eggs in it. I don't know. People love it. Not my bag. Enjoy. Churro toffee. I feel like churro toffee stock is depleting. If you're a Disneyland person, you know what I'm talking about. Churro toffee was the hottest treat in town for so long. And now I feel like as the price gets more expensive, it's what, like $8.29 now probably? It's so expensive. I feel like people aren't talking about it as much. But churro toffee is exactly what I said. It is toffee. It is covered in cinnamon sugar and I believe a white chocolate coating. You can get it at any of the candy stores in either of the park and outside the park as well. It's delicious. It's delicious. There's a reason it became super viral a few years ago. It's just absolutely delicious. I think probably let me take count of the bakery case. The cookies are garbage. Cake pops are fine, but like I'm a grown adult. I'm not really eating a cake pop. Marshmallows covered in chocolate. If you want to fly your brain to the moon and back like a ping pong ball, that'll do it. But yeah, they're kind of the best treat there because I'm not really getting an apple because they give you a plastic knife to cut it and you don't want to do that. Apple to take home is great. But yeah, that's about it. I do think they're the best thing in the case, typically. Bread cones at Cozy Cones and Cars Land at Disney California Adventure. Though I feel like those are kind of permanently on the board. Those are pretty, they're not as famous as a Mickey pretzel, but they are very known. You can get different things in them. Seasonally, they usually switch it up. Definitely check that out. Dole Whip, a day. But keep in mind, it's not only pineapple soft serve that Disneyland is working with. Tropical Hideaway, which is on your walk to Jungle Cruise, it'll be on your left. They have fun flavors like strawberry and peach, and they also have some savory foods where if you want to sit down and kind of make a mini meal out of it, you can. And, by the way, a crime that Disney has not rectified for a reason I cannot discern is that actual soft serve, Nilla, chocolate, swirl, it is only sold at Disney California Adventure. And I stress this here because every time a friend or family goes to the park, they're like, wait, where can I get vanilla soft serve? And I'm like, babes, you can't. You can't. And the problem is, it's so good at DCA. It is so good at DCA. And if you are like my brother, you went to DCA on day one of a 2-day park ticket. You had soft serve and you were like, boy, oh boy, it's 3 p.m. I can't wait for my little treat. And you can't get it because you're at Disneyland. It is like the emoji of soft serve. It is exactly how you remember it. So definitely catch it in Cars Land when you can. But keep in mind, you can't get it at Disneyland. But that's actually okay, because there are truly no end to how many snacks you will be able to eat, even without planning in Disneyland. So just walk around, have your eyes guide you. If you see someone eating something, be like, what's that? And you'll be totally good. I do want to flag seasonal cold brews are also having a huge moment at Disneyland. It can be a little tricky to figure out what's for sale at that exact moment, but the menu has been pretty solid for the last few months. There's a tiramisu cold brew at Maurice's Treats, which is of that bridge to the left of the castle. It's been there for a minute now, so I feel like it might stick for a while. And the black cherry chocolate cold brew sounds gross. I promise it's good. At Red Rose Tavern. Oh, I went full Chicago. Tavern and Red Tavern style pizza. Red Rose Tavern in Fantasyland has this like, so it's like chocolate cold brew, but it doesn't taste like a mocha. It's just like a hint of chocolate. And then a black cherry foam on top. I usually would never go for that flavor profile. It's fantastic. I've gotten it multiple times. Highly recommend. Also, get that before you go to Toontown because they only have plain cold brew at a lot of the food stands around the park and in Toontown. And if you're with kids, you're going to be trapped in Toontown. They're going to be running up the hills and going down the slide. You're going to be there and be like, I wish I had a flavored cold brew. Grab one before you go in and you're set to go. The closest one to there would be that gross mud cake one over at Troubadour Tavern where the Bluey show currently is. Not my bag, but enjoy if that sounds appealing to you. And I recently tried the pecan cold brew over at Smoke Jumpers Grill in Disney California Adventure by Soarin'. And it was a pecan cold brew, which I didn't love the flavor of the cold brew, but it had a salted maple cold foam, which was fantastic. It also had caramel drizzles and waffle pieces, which personally I'm not supposed to eat. And it gave me a really bad tummy ache because I'm not supposed to have waffle pieces. And I had like two pieces and it took me down, but I recommend that one as well. And if you need an actual espresso situation that isn't straight sugary, the cappuccino cart in Disney California Adventure is the quickest way to get a proper coffee in either of the parks. They also have a banoffee pie cold brew, which is butterscotch cold brew. I don't like the flavor of that one, though. Topped with banana foam and chocolate shavings. The banana foam is fantastic. If you need like an actual proper espresso-based drink quickly, that is where you're going to go. Otherwise, you're going to go to Starbucks in either park, but the lines can be quite long. Also, an extra thing, Ghirardelli in DCA, they have a Ghirardelli. They also have espresso, which I never clock. So I need to try that to see if their coffee game is legit. But also, if you're like into a mocha, that might be the move. It can be a little tricky to figure out exactly what is the best thing to get at any moment because the menus change so often at Disneyland Resort. If you are looking at TikToks or Reels, just be mindful of the date when people are posting because the menus can switch often. If you want to go the extra mile and really plan out your sweets and your treats, head to Disney Parks blog and look for a foodie guide, which will tell you seasonally what is to come. That is especially good during festivals, during holidays, during Halloween, things like that, but actually year round because they always have something going on. What you need to know above all though, exclamation point, alarm emoji, mobile order is king here. Do not go to Disneyland Resort without the app already preloaded on your phone, ready to go. I say this often and I will say it again. When you decide it's time to eat, it's already too late. You're gonna be waiting way too long. My probably number one tip for visiting Disneyland is to place mobile orders in advance for later in the day. I always recommend to walk into the park, immediately book a Lightning Lane if you have Lightning Lane MultiPass, then go get in a line for a ride that you don't have a Lightning Lane for. While you are in that line, map out your meals for the rest of the day and plan out your orders because your plans may change and the time that you want to eat at may change, but you do not pay until you pick it up. So adjusting the timing on a midday lunch to be 30 minutes later or even an afternoon treat is going to save you time and absolutely no extra effort to you. And typically, it works out and it's great because you already have lunch ready, you know your plan, and you save so much time that way. Sidebar, I just remembered, cookies at Harbor Galley. I forgot about those. Those are like warm cookies you can get. Yum. There's so many snacks I'm forgetting, but ooh, I gotta rein it in because this isn't a full guide. This is just the advice. Just the tips. If you were curious and wanted to like brainstorm with what meals you may want to eat that day, I always recommend going into the Disneyland app and pretending like you're going to mobile order, especially if you're a few days out and just, you know, want to kill some time. It won't charge you or anything unless you check out. Well, actually, if you check out, it won't charge you either, but you know, if you're not actually going to eat it, don't buy it. But every mobile order entry on the menu has a photo of each dish, which the restaurant menus do not. And it's way easier to parse through all those photos than just reading text and imagining what you might be served. That is for quick service, for some snacks, for things around the park. There are also sit-down restaurants. And the sit-down restaurants book up so quick, so stupidly quickly, it's dumb. It's dumb that there's like no availability for these restaurants. I don't know why. And while I do like a few, and I will name check the ones that I do, it is kind of a hassle to try to land these reservations. There's a time and a place. If you are going on a proper vacation, if you're there for a few days, you're going to want to make resis, but it is kind of a lot if you're there for one day. I recommend using their walk-up waitlist function. It's in the app. If you're standing nearby, you can just go beep boop in your phone and be like, if there's availability, they can probably accommodate you. But friend to friend, my tip is always to do that, but also check in at the desk. Because if you're nice and you're like not expecting anything and you're like, hey, like we would love to eat here, but we weren't sure of the vibe, like how long it might take. Do you think there's a chance we would get seated? They can sometimes because you're there. And sometimes if you're nice, I'm not saying they will, but just knowing you're physically there and you're ready to sit and you're ready to spend money, it can help. That's just the way life works. Now, at the time of recording this, my favorite sit-down reservation restaurants are Carnation Cafe at Disneyland. It's off of Main Street. They have fried pickles. They have burgers. Like, it's just a really easy, accessible menu that's usually pretty good. I tend to like their food a lot in Disneyland. Tricky reservation to get. Sitting inside is horrid. Don't sit inside. Wait for an outside table. Sitting inside is bad. I also think Carthay Circle at DCA is a very special restaurant. But again, that's going to be a long meal. And it's a little more of like a nice, elegant place. So it is going to be pricey. But it's a great experience. But if you're there for a day, it's not really going to work. Restaurants I have to mention, I'm legally required to recommend to you if you were going to Disneyland Resort, is Cafe Orleans for Monte Cristo's. They're known for that. However, a few years ago, they changed the fries. And I really don't want to go back. That is how deep in the lore I am now. I used to be a casual guest. I used to show up and be like, oh, they have this here? Oh, they have a ride? Fun. Now I'm out here protesting a restaurant for years on end because they changed the French fries. Wow. I'm a Disney adult. I also recommend Storyteller's Cafe at Disney's Grand Californian Hotel if you want a character meal. There are other options, but I think that that one's the best. And I went to the holiday one. Okay. I went to the Christmas time one. I'm not even going to say holiday because it was straight up Christmas. It was Christmas Carol. It was straight up Christmas. It was amazing. The characters were amazing. I don't love the buffet. There's nothing I'm writing home about with the food, but the character experiences there were nice. And I think that is better than Goofy's Kitchen, which is a Disneyland hotel, which really feels like you are, I say that Chef Mickey's at Disney World, this is for people, I'm sorry for anyone listening to this who's a casual Disney person, there's a restaurant called Chef Mickey's that is a character dining restaurant at Disney World. I say it feels like a pediatrician's waiting room. Goofy's Kitchen feels like you're waiting in the ER, like you're in the urgent care. Unfortunately, it's true. However, you see the characters, and that is great, and it does the trick, but not the vibe that I prefer to spend a lot of money on, because the stuff adds up. If you have a family or go with a group of people, it adds up. It adds up. I am not really in a table service mood lately, in case you couldn't tell. When I go to Disneyland Resort, I am doing quick service, which means I'm getting food at a counter and I'm finding a table. And more often than not, I'm eating the same freaking meal. And it is a bread bowl with macaroni and cheese that I'm splitting with my child because I have a lot of dietary restrictions right now. But you know what? That sourdough bread is something I can eat. And that sourdough bread is fantastic. And it has not been proven. But the sourdough, the closer you are to Boudin Bakery, yeah, they got a whole sourdough bakery in the San Francisco-y area. They updated the theme, whatever, whatever. In this area, they have a whole sourdough, like, factory. If this restaurant, Aunt Cass Cafe, is connected to it, their sourdough is fresher than around the resort. I don't care what you tell me. I don't care if it's wrong. I know it in my bones to be true. That sourdough is, like, fresh off the line and delicious. I'm very picky about fresh bread. That bread is good. But I really recommend, if you want to get a meal throughout the day, Disney California Adventure, San Francisco. It's kind of in the center of the park before you reach like the big Mickey Fun Wheel. That area has multiple dining locations, meaning that if you guys want different stuff, you can all come together and eat, and it's really, really convenient. It's really convenient that no matter what you want to eat, you can all sit together easily. Flo's is also a place people love. I don't think the food there is good, but to each their own. And at Disneyland, Rancho del Zocalo, which is a Mexican restaurant that does not have mobile order, used to be my go-to. I don't think the menu is very good right now. They streamlined it. It feels like a factory. The food is very like, oh, I don't want to say this because I'm going to get in trouble. It feels a little more like Mexican menu day at your high school cafeteria. Okay, I'm sorry, but they used to have a lot of cool stuff cooking there. They used to have a lot of fun, interesting entrees that weren't just like children's bean and cheese burrito. Now they used to have horchata. They used to have all this stuff, and it's not there right now. So I'm going for it. I'm saying I don't like to go there that much anymore. I'll just kind of eat wherever I am whenever I'm hungry. But more often than not, I'm going out of my way to go to Aunt Cass Cafe to get me that bread bowl. That, oh, and with butter. Woo, woo, woo. It's good. If you are here to get your drink on, if you want a nice cocktail, look no further than Carthay Circle Lounge. That is a Disney California Adventure. It delivers. It's exactly what you want it to be. There are many bars, like the hotels and DCA, including Trader Sam's, a Disneyland hotel, that is a destination. But like, if you're going to have one drink and you're there at the park for a day or two, Carthay Circle Lounge is the elegant experience you are looking for. Do know that the food is small plates and super overpriced. It can be tricky to get a table. You can do the walk-up situation there. And I have successfully been able to do that. But that's kind of like, that's kind of the place I like to go. I always pack snacks, 100% pack snacks, especially if you're a local. Just have a granola bar or two in your bag. Because if you're in line and you're hungry, you're going to want to eat it. I have noticed this week that I eat more than other people. I ate so many snacks when I was with a group of new friends at Disneyland this past weekend that they were like, wow, you always have a snack. And I was like, is nobody hungry? We haven't eaten in 90 minutes. But again, pack a snack. Other advice if you were going to Disneyland Resort. It gets chilly at night. So bringing a layer is annoying because you'll be hot during the day. I recommend pooling with friends or other people in your party to get a locker and shove everything in there. If you go early enough in the day, there should be availability. Otherwise, a lot of my friends just go and plan to buy a spirit jersey or a sweatshirt at night, and that's their little souvenir treat, and that way they don't have to carry it around all day. Could you call it a hack? I don't know, but it's easier than carrying something around all day. I usually have a tote bag or a bagu that I carry another layer in. In the colder months, I will pack hand warmers. I'm not kidding. Disneyland gets colder than most people will tell you about. It is my job to tell you, as somebody who gets cold easily, that you could be extremely cold at Disneyland at night, especially in winter. It's kind of like desert rules, so make sure you plan ahead for that. Other advice. Disneyland has a small footprint, which means it's gonna feel crowded even if it's not that crowded. So make sure you find ways to take breaks and to step away from the crowd to chill out if it all feels like a little too much. Fantasyland especially has a traffic pattern. If you are around that part on like a Saturday in the fall or in the winter, you're gonna be like, ugh. So find somewhere to like chill out, have a snack, reset, and then go on with your day. California Adventure will always feel more open because they have larger walkways, but also if there's a food festival, it's still gonna feel pretty jammed in there. Entertainment at Disneyland. The schedule is all over the board, so we're not gonna get specific. But at nighttime, there's everything from fireworks to Fantasmic, which is a waterfront show. There's a nighttime parade. There's a waterfront show at DCA. There's a bunch of stuff, but it's not always happening every night, and it changes all the friggin' time for seasons, and then for like summer ending, and then like the 70th ending, and then holiday starting. It's always different. Check the calendar. That is my rule. That's all you need to know. Check the calendar. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Sometimes there just won't be fireworks. Trust me. Check the calendar to make sure you know what you are getting yourself into when you visit. Now, a few quick things before we go. Stuff people regularly sleep on that we just gotta talk about more. It is so easy to see characters here without having to wait in lines. Well, never-ending lines. You may have to wait a little, but the lines are not that bad. When you walk into Disneyland Resort and Disney California Adventure, most of the day, you're gonna see Mickey and friends. And especially in the morning, they are out and about on the town. It's like on Gilmore Girls, how there's like always people milling about the town. That's what Main Street USA is at these parks. And Buena Vista Street, DCA, they're out and about. There are proper meet and greets throughout the resort. Back in Toontown, you can go to Mickey's house and Minnie's house, but the wait is long. It's so much easier to get the job done here when you walk in. And honestly, it kind of sets you up for success. It starts your day off on this really happy note because you already met Mickey. You already met Pluto. You already saw Chip and Dale. Like it really makes this place so magical. It really does. And also throughout the parks, you'll walk around and see characters all over in a way that you won't in Florida. It's kind of like the Disney you imagine in your brain, but it's actually real. And a tip for DCA, my favorite place to sit, maybe to decompress, to have lunch, I will bring food over from Aunt Cass Cafe. Sitting outside at Flo's, best view in the park, bar none. Castle's great, but sitting there, eating food, watching the cars drive by, feeling like you're kind of in nature, even though you're literally in a former parking lot, it's exceptional. And if you are traveling with young people or people who gotta get energy out, usually young people are the same, but anyway, Redwood Creek Challenge Trails at Disney California Adventure, nobody talks about this. I never went here for years. It is a unbelievable obstacle course adventure zone. Like, it is just beautifully themed, impeccably themed. You feel like you're in a forest. Kids run around. There's slides. There's like the thing where like you hang on it and you zoom. Not like hang gliding. You know the thing where it's like you hang on and go, wee! Am I making sense? What is that? You hang on to like a little, like the little, like it's like an iron. Oh my God, if I keep talking about it, I'm going to sound like I don't live on planet Earth. You just like, wee! Not a zip line. It's not even a zip line. You're like, it's like the playground version. Oh my God. I don't know what it's called. Sorry for anyone who's yelling at me in their car because they know the name. There's like these multi-level netting walking structures. Great place to get the sillies out. And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful environment to be in. Last but not least, I want to set you up for success with some people you got to follow for basically up to the day, up to the week updates for Disneyland Resort. For news and schedule changes, be sure to follow David Vaughn, California Disney Bliss, who does monthly updates at the start of every month for closures and any details you need to know with really good recommendations about what to pack. Highly recommend those. Kelly at We Don't Wear Ears. Kelly's on top of it. Kelly knows everything, especially if it's your first time here. Definitely head there. All of these links will be in the show notes, by the way. Chasing Magic Daily, Food at Disneyland, as well as the main outlets like All Ears, Disney Food Blog, Mickey Visit, the regular news sites. I will put all of this in the show notes. Don't forget to follow Blake Silva and the Magical Millennial, especially if you're interested in pins or merch. They cover Disneyland extensively, but especially they are kind of the go-to people at this point for merch-related stuff. If you have any questions, you can always call me at 747-CHURROS on the CHURROS hotline. If you are new here, welcome. I hope you like it. I hope you fall in love with Disneyland Resort and stay. We're gabbing all the time and not always about Disney, so we'd love to have you. If you need anything, hit me up and have so much fun. I hope you enjoyed this mini episode, and I'll see you next week with another one for a different theme park resort. I mean, it's going to be Disney World, obviously. Becky's back! And she's going to tell us how we can save more money.
The big one this week is Disney Cruise Line. They came up with a save up to $500 per person. Whoa. On select sailings from October 1st to December 31st of this year. That's valid on most sailings, not all, but most sailings of the Disney Treasure, the Disney Fantasy, and the Disney Wonder, which you should be listening about because that's obviously the Disney Wonder from San Diego.
I mean, I am so close to booking it for a second time this year, you don't even know.
When you have 500 per person, that's not just for one and two. That's $500 per person in the cabin off. Book by August 30th for that one. So a good example is for select nights or for 7 nights in a veranda, you save up to 500. If you're in an ocean view, you would save up to 400 per person. If you get into that 6 nights or less, you have savings up to $250 per person. So it does vary by the itinerary that you choose and the cabin category. But that is an incredible savings for Disney Cruise Line. If you want to do a cruise, now's the time to do it if you can go this year.
Do you want to do a cruise, Becky?
My God. If a cruise, though, isn't in your future, Aulani, if you want to go over and have your little drink with a little umbrella and hang out in the lazy river, Aulani has a save up to 30% off on select rooms, including their partial ocean view and ocean view rooms. For stays up to 5 or more consecutive nights, you get up to that 30% off. 4 or more consecutive nights is up to 25%. This is for stays valid from October 19th to December 23rd. And if you're a Disney Visa card holder, you can save even more. You can save up to 35% and hang out in Hawaiian Paradise.
I am, and I want to. I want to hug Duffy. They won't let us. They trot Duffy and Shelly Mae around at Disneyland, tempting us, just going down Main Street. We can't hug him, but you can hug him in Aulani.
You stalk poor Duffy, don't you, when you're in Aulani?
Of course I do.
The other one, last but not least, is in your backyard for Disneyland. They do have a save up to 15% off select room types Sunday through Thursday through September 7th. That's save up to 15% at the Grand Californian, the Disneyland Hotel, and the Villas at Disneyland Hotel, as well as saving up to 10% off Pixar Place. But wait, there's more.
Oh my gosh.
If you're a Disney Visa card holder, you can save up to 25% off.
Wow. Blair will be hearing from me.
I'm sure he will. San Diego is calling your name.
Literally. I already have the date. I already have a hold in my calendar. I don't want to talk about it. It was so great to see you. And thank you for all of this and for everything you do.
Hi, here's my theme park question. So I surprised my wife and daughter with a 2-day trip to Disney World in November. We're going to be doing Jollywood one day, but we are now having an epic debate on what we should do the first day, whether we should do Magic Kingdom or Epcot. So question, if you had just one day at the park, which one would you recommend doing, Magic Kingdom or Epcot?
Well, this is a debate for the ages, and I immediately had a gut instinct, and I do think that my choice is correct. Now, I don't know the age of your daughter. That does affect this a little. If they are 4, that's going to be very different than if they are 14. However, I do think I'm still going to stick with the same choice, and I am going to, somewhat shockingly, recommend Epcot. Now, you are in November. I don't know the timing of your trip, but if Jollywood is happening, I'm going to assume Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party may also be happening at that time. That means it is possible that on your Magic Kingdom day, you might not be able to see fireworks, which, boo, we do. I'm literally like thumbs downing in person. We do not like that, especially if you're only going to one park for one day. I think that Epcot will probably have Festival of the Holidays then. There will be a lot of like fun activations. I can't think of a better word, even though that is so marketing speak. Blah. That is a great option for you. But I actually... So because you were going on a 2-day trip and Jollywood is one day, meaning that day you're not really going to the park, you're only going afternoon, evening to Jollywood, I think Epcot is a fantastic choice for you. And here's why. I think that you can live 2 very different days within the same day at Epcot specifically. You can go in the morning, you can do the rides, you can do Guardians, you can do all of that in the morning. Then you can take a break back at the hotel. Or you can go to a long sit-down lunch. And then you can explore World Showcase all night or vice versa once World Showcase opens, because it doesn't all open when the park opens. But you know what I mean. I think that you can really squeeze a lot of juice out of Epcot and have a lot of different experiences at this point. And I know, a lot of us have a lot of thoughts about what they've done to Epcot. I think that they have done some stuff good in remodeling it, some stuff not as good, but there is a lot you can do now. Like, you can see, we always get pulled into that Encanto live show. The Moana Journey of Water, why am I blanking on the name? Journey of Water featuring Moana? No. Journey of Water starring Moana? No. Journey of Water inspired by Moana. We got it. It's in there somewhere. I think that there's so many different things you can do at Epcot now, in modern Epcot, that you can really have a full fun day there doing different stuff. I do recommend, if you are only doing Epcot, make a table service reservation for a fun, I don't know, maybe like a beer garden style restaurant, not to bully you into it, but I think it's pretty great. Like, have a sit down reservation either at lunchtime or at dinner time and really just like live out a dream Epcot day. I need to get back to Disney World because I also feel like this advice is to me personally. I hope you have so much fun. Also, you surprised your family. That is adorable. That is so nice. I guess I'll never be surprised with the Disney trip because I'm the Disney planner. So as someone who's on this side, it's amazing. And I hope that they are so excited. And I hope you have the most wonderful trip. Thank you so much for calling. And have a good time at Epcot. Because go to Epcot. Go to Epcot. That's our show! Thank you all so much for listening to this mini episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I really feel like this is helpful to have on the feed. So if you have a friend that's like, you know, like going to Disneyland or Disney World, you can be like, oh, just hit play on this. It's not that long. It'll give you all the info you need. And that way you don't have to type out an email for 2 hours at night, which is something I often am like, oh, I gotta get all my thoughts out to someone who wants to go to the parks. This just makes it easy. Easy breezy. That's what it's all about. You can rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts and rate and follow us on Spotify. If you haven't, it really makes a difference. So I appreciate if you do. And to those of you who have, thank you so much. Thank you for helping us grow Very Amusing and for letting this be my job, because, oh my God, this is my job. That's wild. I'm a mother and this is my job. Life is very unpredictable. You can give us a call at 747-CHURROS. Keep those calls coming. I answered some, not all, on the Churros hotline, so I would love to keep doing that. If you are planning a trip and planning to save so much freaking money this summer, OMG, what is happening at Disneyland? It is wild. Hit up MEI Mouse Fan Travel and mousefantravel.com/amusing. That lets them know that you're one of us. You're just into like a cool, fun trip to a theme park or a Universal or a cruise. You want to save some money. You want to see what your options are. And they will take care of you. And they won't charge you anything for it, which is absolutely bizarre. I mean, it's incredible. I've wasted so much time in my life on the Walt Disney World website. And I'm so grateful to them for saving me from that. And going forward. MouseFanTravel.com/amusing. They gotcha. Follow me at Carly Wiesel. Join the Foamily at Facebook.com/group/Carly Wiesel. Subscribe to my Instagram, 99 cents a month. I basically post daily at this point. Everyone else I see also are pricing their subscribers at $4.99. That's a lot of money. $4.99 is a lot of money. I'm out here, I think 99 cents, from my understanding, is the cheapest it can be, which is, I guess, says something about how I think of myself, but I'm like, I know I'm worth 99 cents. $3.99? I don't know. That's why the Patreon imploded. It was too much pressure for me to be like, I'm taking people's money. Oh my God. Like, I couldn't fulfill. It drove me up a wall. I couldn't do it. I was like, I'm taking these people's dollars. I have to give them everything. It just was not for me. 99 cents? I feel confident that you get 99 cents worth of fun out of it. I feel confident that price point feels good. So if you want to come hang out, give it a shot for a month. If you leave, it doesn't tell me. I'm sure it does somewhere. I don't look for it, but like, it's fine. Just like, give it a shot. And if you don't like it, bye-bye. It's okay. Just give it a shot if you can. And I know there's a weird bug where not everyone can subscribe. I have scheduled emails out to someone at Instagram, so I'm not annoying, but I check in like every 4 weeks. So hopefully we will get that rectified at some point. That's all. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back with 2 more weeks of mini guides. And yeah, hope you're having a great summer. See you real soon.
Hey, sweetie, it's Mom. I sound a little weird. I had a little mouth surgery, so sorry. But it's a guest session, I can say that. So I kind of lost my voice because of it. But one thing about you, you will take the craziest dare. Yeah, I knew that you wouldn't drink your milk at that Pancake House restaurant in the Dells. And guess what? You did. You always will do it to prove me wrong. You will. You drank the whole thing. So I always keep my word. And yes, we did go back to the water park. But to me, Wisconsin Dells, it's amazing. It is so great. It is Las Vegas for kids. It's $25 every 15 minutes. It used to be like $15.20, but now with inflation, it's like $25 every 15 minutes. But you get the batting cages, the gold mining, the miniature golf, the go-karts, the candy stores, and of course, the water parks and our favorite Paul Bunyan's. Worth the wait in the line at Paul Bunyan's, because they had for lunch, it was like a brunch breakfast, eggs, pancakes, bacon, and those sugary donuts. I can just see them in front of my eyes. They were so good. But then they introduced dinner fried chicken, and that was so good. I think it was the first ones to arrive because that's Dad's favorite, and he was so excited. So he would only drive 3.5 hours from our house to Wisconsin Dells to go to Paul Bunyan. He didn't care about anything else. We even bought those blue and white spotted coffee cups, remember? Those are so fun still. Such a fan. Great episode, honey. I love you so much. I love you, Pearl. I love you, John Stamos. And I will see you very soon. I'm very excited. Bye-bye, sweetie.